All right, everybody. Steve Bisciotti here. This is Legion's Cast.
Yes.
This is a brand new podcast that is dedicated to Mythic Legions. If you're listening to this, you know exactly what Mythic Legions are. They might be the best toy line available today. Sculpted by a great company, Four Horsemen Studios, most talented guys in toys, I think, right now. And this is kind of a I still think this line is in its infancy, and it is on its way up. People are going to keep finding this thing, and it's just going to keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And in order to celebrate that, and the love for it, me and my two friends, if you don't know, I will introduce them now. Travis Bowles, how you doing, Trav?
Wonderful. Glad to be here.
And Pete McCarthy, how are you, Pete?
I'm doing mythically today.
Nice.
Nice.
That's a good way to put it. Mythically. We wanted to get on the ball early before, you know, anybody else does it. And to my knowledge, no one is doing it. I could be wrong, but to my knowledge, there is not a Mythic Legions podcast that is, you know, dedicated solely to this toy line. And so here we are. We're going to do it, and it's going to be a ball. To kick this off, it's not only the three of us. We've got a guest. We're doing this podcast in conjunction with a Facebook group, a very pretty well-known Facebook group in the realm of Mythic Legions.
The Mythic Legions Facebook group.
Yes. Mythic Legions Cabal, and we've got the administrator, the creator, Walter Hagen with us. How are you, Walter?
Oh, I'm good, guys. How are you doing?
We're doing great, man. Thanks so much for coming on this morning. We understand that you being 3 hours behind us can make things difficult on a Sunday morning, but we appreciate you making the arrangements.
Oh, no problem, man. You guys, this is exciting. So it's definitely worth getting up early and receiving the text messages and saying, "Hey, are you awake?" I'm awake.
And dude, you were absolutely cracking me up. I was reading some of these text messages to your guys in between our normal episode, and we started this, and you had me rolling, man. I kept bursting out laughing during our show, reading the text messages. What's really cool, and I want to share with the listeners, when we decided that we wanted to do a Mythic Legions podcast. And when I say we, it was Steve and I, because we were like, we should bring Travis in. And then we were like, yeah, Travis is just going to go. He's a go with the flow kind of guy. And we talked about wanting, how do we do a Mythic Legions podcast? Okay, we know how to do this. We know what we want it to look like. Well, how do we reach to get out to the Mythic Legions fans, to the masses? And the obvious choice was, well, let's get a hold of Walter and see if we can make this something that he's willing to help us spread the word on the Cabal about. Because there's so many fans. I mean, you've got what, 900 people on that page?
919, I think.
Yeah, and that's absolutely amazing. And that would be what better than to partner up with somebody to where we can immediately get the information in front of 919 people that we know are already fans of the line. We're super excited about the relationship, and we appreciate you giving us a shot to kind of be the guys. And I think we're going to have a lot of fun, man. We're really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm super excited you guys contacted me with the idea, because it's been several different layers of bringing Mythic Legions to everybody, you know, and just, you know, man, anytime I can tell people about it, I do. And if it's, you know, flying across the country to hang out with the guys from the Four Horsemen and helping them out with the conventions, I just have so much fun doing it. And to do a podcast like this to reach even more people, or just to, you know, tell people, like, you know, hey, you gotta check this stuff out. You know, it just makes me excited.
How let's bring it down to the meat and potatoes of where did it start with you for Mythic Legions? How did you end up going from toy fan to picking up Mythic Legions to eventually creating what would become the official like Facebook fan group of the Four Horsemen of Mythic Legions.
Yeah, it still blows my mind when people say stuff like that. Honestly, it was one of those things. The guy that I talked to first about Mythic Legions and finding photos and looking at that stuff, and then eventually talking to him, and then buying something, was I talked to Ray Wu, who has passed away. The figure that Rhaegar is created after. I was fortunate enough to start following him on Instagram and really liked his photos, because there was something in his style and character that he would photograph figures, and to me they look like the figures were like, life size coming at you, and the detail was like nuts. And the more I talked to him about it, and the more I started looking into it, and then eventually he's like, hey, he would message me and say, hey, you got to get out on this order if you want to order something. And I said, yeah, Dan. So I ordered a Barbarian Builder and I believe one of the Minotaurs, and I think Astrion, something like that. I forget the name at the second, but I ordered like two figures, and when I got them in hand, I was just like, holy cow, these things are nuts. And these are a lot cooler than I can even expect, and the detail and the accessories and everything else. And I talked back and forth with Ray several times, and he's going, oh, have you seen this one? Have you seen that? And so next thing I know, here I am like slowly going back in the original series of the 1.0 release, and I would find a couple figures that I liked, and it kind of went from there. And next thing I know, I just started buying up more. So my thing was, is just I had such great fondness of them, and they reminded me of the old school He-Man figures, but the stuff that we all wanted as kids.
Absolutely.
So, but yeah.
It's hard not to fall in love with these when being the guy that was the last to get on board, and for a long time it was just all, realistically it was financial constrictions for me. I'm sitting, sitting next to these guys that are doing these all ins, and it was a lot of money for me. And I liked the figures. I thought they were cool. Then they got them in hand, and I thought, man, these really are cool. And I kept saying, I'm going to get in on it. And it always seemed like, and I've actually told Cornboy this, from the Four Horsemen, that I don't know why he hates me, but it seems like like something goes wrong every time there's a pre-order coming up, and hey, look at this, I'm going to do this pre-order, and then it's, oh, well, the van needs brakes, or it's college application money, or it's whatever, But I'm so glad that I was able to, finally get my hands on some of my own figures. And I think I've been now, not only have I bought a few of them, but I'm actually buying it, in the last couple of waves I've bought, but I've been gifted, I think, three different Mythic Legions from fans. And I've walked away. Last night we had a friend, kind of a Christmas party, and I pulled one the last 2 years out of from the White Elephant gifts. I've pulled a Mythic Legions figure. So I've gotten lucky for my collection as well. But they are truly amazing. And I think we all echo Steve that this is where it's at in toys right now. And people are, unfortunately, for the big companies, they're comparing these to what Mattel is doing and what Hasbro is doing, or what Mattel and Hasbro are not doing. It's really kind of it's elevating the whole action figure game, because it's forcing other companies to step it up if they want to compete. And it's great for us. We're the ones that truly win. The fans are the ones that win in those scenarios. So,
it's definitely one of those things that once I started getting them in hand, and I was a mild Motu collector. I bought the figures that I liked, here's He-Man, Skeletor. I liked all those, but they weren't something that I could, like, you know, just continue buying and get super excited on to where, you know, I wanted every single one of them. And then also, too, I completely understand. It's like, I'm a gardener. Like, I tell people all the time, I live and don't make a lot of money. My wife is very supportive of me and says, you know, hey, he could be doing worse things out there than buying action figures. And, right. You know, we pay our bills and I pay the bills and get by, but, you know, I don't have the big deep pockets like I have friends that do, but it still makes me happy every time I can find one at a great deal or get one on a trade and just be like, oh man, I got a new one, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Not everybody's Travis who can literally spend so much money that he doesn't even know what he spent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of Travis, let's get him on the show. Hey, Trav.
What's up?
Well, we've just been kind of talking about Mythic Legions here. Uh-huh. You wanna tell us what is it about Mythic Legions that drew you in?
I think that for me it was easy. It was the filling that hole of that fantasy realm characters. I've always loved Dungeons and Dragons. Not to the point that I've played it or anything like that, but those are the kind of books I like to read. That I like that fantasy world. And then you just put out these amazing figures, these barbarians, you know, that I joke, you know, fill that swords and sandals role for me.
Yeah.
And it's fun. And to have the orcs and the goblins and all these things from these books that I've read that now I can actually have that action figure in my hand. And they're just such a great representation. And then when you get them, you know, just like Walter said, the toys are just absolutely amazing.
How much would you say, Trav, your collecting habits have changed since Mythic Legions became available to you?
Well, I was a hardcore Marvel Universe and G.I. Joe collector. So these are 4-inch figures. And, you know, I had this, what I would call a beautiful display, the G.I. Joe flag, all these toys set up in this great big battle. As soon as Legions really came out and, you know, the horsemen just started pumping them out, I realized I don't have room for that. And not only is it that I don't have room for it, it's I don't appreciate them as much as I used to. That 6-inch scale is pretty amazing for me. And that's what I'm really enjoying is having these big figures that just, they're fun. They pose well. They look great on shelves. The display aspect, the articulation, they're just great figures.
Now, Walter, you mentioned Masters of the Universe. Did you were you a big Masters fan as a child?
Oh man, I have Castle Grayskull tattooed on my side. He-Man to me is cooler than Spider-Man or Superman or anybody else out there. And, you know, if you want to argue with me about it, that's fine, man. But He-Man, that was the greatest cartoon as a kid to live through that era and have those toys as a kid and to dress up as He-Man in Halloween when you're 5, 6, 7 years old, that time of stuff, and walk around and tell people you're the strongest man in the universe. I mean, that was the time, man. It was to do that as a kid back then, to even just think about it, just, you know, that was the best thing ever. And you know, I went to San Diego Comic-Con several years ago when they celebrated, I think, the 25th anniversary, and they had like a 10-foot tall statue of Han, and the four horsemen were there. And they were, revealing all new characters that, you know, and to see that 6-inch line to come to life, that I was like, I didn't even know this stuff existed. And, you know, that He-Man stuff was exciting, to say the least. But it still never was like a I gotta have it all type of stuff. I was content and happy with getting He-Man and Fisto and Skeletor and Ram-Man and just the main characters, and that was fun to me. You know, that made my childhood come back to life. And it sounds silly, but like I let my son have and play with all those figures now. And I'll post pictures at times, and my son's playing with like a $200 Fisto figure and a two or three different He-Mans, and people will text me later going, "Oh my God, I can't believe you let your son play with those." And I'm like, you know, who cares? He's having fun.
Well,
how old is your son?
My son is going to be 6 in about 3 weeks. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, he's awesome. It's funny, even last night he went over and took my my ogre Kurzog and King Noglin from me last night, and was up till 10:15 battling Hulk. So
nice.
You mentioned his name is Walter. Is he a junior?
No, he's actually a third.
Okay.
I'm not very original on names, so I just came up with the same name as me and my dad, and it was that easy.
Well, very cool, man. And that's one of the things too, is, you know, about the time I started, doing this toy collecting stuff with these Yahoos here, my son was getting to be, you know, 3-4 years old, where I could, you know, make the excuse with the wife as to why I was buying these figures was, you know, to relate to him. And then it's like, don't touch those. Yeah. You know, but nothing makes him happier than coming up to the studio and friggin' playing with, my Power Rangers Megazord, and taking it apart and transforming them all, then transforming them back and putting it back together. And it's cool that we can share that kind of stuff with our kids, man.
Yeah, and that's the kind of stuff that, you know, even when I've gone to the conventions to see someone like Jeremy Gerard show up with his son, and he's sharing that Mythic Legions experience, and, you know, and Jeremy's son is sitting there going, "Oh, man, I love this figure. Have you got one of these yet?" And I'm kind of blown away that here's a kid that's, you know, schooling me on a figure that I don't own, and he's telling me all the cool colors that it has and what he's looking to get next. And so to see, like, you know, the younger kids just, you know, get excited about this kind of stuff just gets me all excited, and see them like, "Yeah, I need to play with that one too," you know?
Right. Are you at this point? Are you consider yourself a completist? Do you have all the Mythic Legions figures?
You know, I'm the Antichrist on that type of situation. I'm the guy that I'll buy a figure and then take them apart and then sell off figures and parts, and I'll give stuff away. I see it as, like, you know, there's certain figures that I like them, but I don't need to have every single one.
Right.
There's plenty of the characters that I just say, you know, don't get me wrong, I think they're all beautiful and stuff like that, but I just don't need to have them all. I'm obviously a skeleton guy. I love the undead figures. There's something about them that just triggers that old, Jason and the Argonauts, feel to them. And, sure. I can't have enough of skeletons, you know, I don't need to have every single character under the catalog, if you will.
Nice.
Well, you know, in talking about the figures, one of the things we want to do, with this show, and I say we kind of jump right in, you know, we want to talk about the factions a little bit, and we want to talk about the, like I said, the lore behind these figures. And one of the coolest traits about, you know, the Mythic Legions line is these are all fresh and they're all new and they're all, you know, they're creating a backstory, and they're giving these characters not only a look, but also a personality. And in some cases, a job and friends and groups and factions and all these things. And it really is an entire, you know, universe that they've built. And we wanted to talk about the first faction. Travis, would you like to introduce the first faction that we're going to talk about here on Legions Cast?
The army of Leodatus.
Leodatus.
The army of Leodatus.
Now, for people who aren't familiar with us, just so you know, Travis is, we're all part of another podcast. Travis is the guy who cannot read.
Right.
He doesn't say names right. He doesn't pronounce things right. He's not that bright. We would be losing a lot of fun if we didn't just make him read all the stuff.
Right.
So we don't need people saying, hey, get the guy that can read, read it. No, that's right. Not what we're going to do.
That's
we're
not
get
what you. We do
we're,
here.
We're picking on the slow kid. That's what we're doing.
That's right.
All right?
Travis, don't feel bad, man. Like, people will come up to me all the time and ask me if I saw, did you get the one new guy? I'll just shake my head and go, yeah, that guy. Yeah.
If I had one complaint with the Four Horsemen, it would be this crap. All right. I mean, seriously. Can't you just call them the Army of Leo? I mean, really. You got to make up these complicated names to make me feel inadequate.
You got to throw these big words like the and of into the title. So
I'll mention that to CB and the guys and Eric and just say, can you next to the name put phonetic spelling next to it so guys like myself and Travis can, when we go to buy these, we can say, oh, that's a Malleus. Oh,
right on.
Okay. Hey, do you guys have a John Warrior in your booth? I'm looking for a John Warrior from Mythic Legions. So tell us about this army, Trav.
This army represents the hardline military branch of Rule and Mythos. Assembled to combat the forces of Arathur, they are embroiled in a scandal that saw their rightful leader, Atlas, ousted in favor of his younger brother, Attila.
Yeah.
So this is the police.
Definitely. The what? That.
This is the police of Mythos. These are supposedly the good guys. These are supposedly the ones that help keep the peace and make sure people are following the rules. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Rule of Mythos, yeah. Man.
And just to let everybody know, we are pulling this information directly from
SourceHorseman.com.
Yeah.
So, incredible site, especially if you're coming into the line late and you're trying to figure out what figures you still need. Let's say you bought a lot off of eBay. This is going to show pictures of the figures, their weaponry, their accessories. You can find out if they're complete or incomplete. And it's a great resource. The Four Horsemen teamed up with Jeremy Gerard, who we mentioned earlier in the episode, and he built an incredible website. So it's a great resource for Mythic Legions fans. And so make sure you get on there, check it out. And a couple of the figures that we picked from this first faction to talk about today. Steve, you want to tell us what characters you brought?
I do. We're going to talk about Attila Leosir. I should let Travis do it. Attila Leosir and Kauros. But before we move on to Attila, I just think, you know, there's this little paragraph we have here about the army of Leodiceus. It's not much information, but Jesus, it sure raises a lot of questions.
It does.
You know, assembled to combat the forces of Arathir, they're embroiled in a scandal. What was the scandal? I mean, what is the scandal that saw their rightful leader, Atlas, ousted in favor of the younger brother, Attila?
And Atlas is also in another faction now.
He is in another faction. Yeah.
The House of the Noble Bear, I believe?
Yes, he is. And I find that very, very cool that they add all that. You know, there's a story there.
Right. And it's a story that gives you enough information to sit around with your buddies and BS and speculate as to, well, what was the scandal?
I think Atlas hit on some chick he wasn't supposed to.
It could have.
Yeah. That's what it was?
Could have been. I'd take a run at Hadriana. So.
Yeah, it's definitely, it raises the imagination of, like, what happened, you know? What did they do that one guy and the brother went this way and there's a scandal and all of a sudden he's, you know, what's really going on?
And then not to get too far ahead of ourselves, I mean, Atlas is kind of the guys behind a group that calls themselves the Noble Bear.
Right.
It's not like he's a disgraced guy. Mm-mm. Sounds like he carries a lot of respect, actually.
Yeah. It sounds like he just was like, you know, this isn't the thing for me. I'm going to go do my own thing. And, you know, he to me, it sounds like he's like the Robin Hood, you know? He's out there trying to do good and help people out, but not be part of this militant group.
The first figure Attila that we're talking about is absolutely gorgeous. He's a human warrior. Was available in Mythic Legions 1.0, and then also was part of the All Stars 2 wave. Comes with a shield, a sword, a battle axe, his red cape. Hit us with a bio, Travis.
All right, everybody, hold on. When his older brother Atlas renounced his claim to leadership of the army of Leodiceus, Attila Leoser gladly stepped up and grabbed the mantle. A ferocious warrior, Attila embodies the spirit of his army's lion symbol. Overbrimming with incredible confidence and charisma, Attila's popularity amongst the people of Mythos has made him a symbol of hope in a kingdom crippled with fear.
So now this paints Attila as not somebody who overthrew his brother, but as somebody who was well-respected to take things in the right direction. And
maybe.
I'm sorry.
Maybe.
No.
I can see where you would get that.
Right.
But you also got to look at here, the army, he gladly stepped up and grabbed the mantle. It wasn't like he had, you know, right. Is it something that he wanted? Is it something
was that part of the scandal?
Was that part of the scandal? He's a ferocious warrior. He embodies the spirit of the army's lion spirit, overbrimming with incredible confidence and charisma. Is this guy very charismatic? People follow him. There are evil characters that embody those sentiments. So is this guy a good guy that would play ball with the maybe corruptedness that Atlas wouldn't? Is that how is this guy a good guy? Is this guy a hero? Or is this guy a little less than a hero?
The other thing that you'll notice, too, is when you look at the faction description, now you look at his, this is talking about Atlas renouncing his claim, as in he is the one that stepped aside. So, you know, and you don't get that from that original description. It feels like he was pushed out. And maybe he was pushed to the point of where he had to leave, but it does beg the question. One of the cool things when you talk about the figure, it's all gold. It looks very regal, very powerful, very wealthy. And you immediately go to the helmet, which, of course, is that lion helmet. And, you know, it talks about embracing that kind of the warrior side. And then it's subtle accents on it. You know, it's a plain, if you will, gold figure. When you look at it, it's a lot of gold. There's just enough little light accents. And then, bam, they hit you with this beautiful red cape, this beautiful red little kind of belt shawl, and then, of course, the shield. And it just sets this whole thing off.
Yeah, he definitely has a prideful feel to him, if you will, to play on that cliche of like, I'm a lion, I'm the king, I'm head honcho, look at me, it's my way or the highway, you know. He's a gorgeous figure.
Oh, and the sculpt is just beautiful. And we're gonna say that about everyone because they've never released a bad sculpt really in our opinion.
No. Yeah.
But one of the greatest things about almost every Mythic Legion character is when people say, and I've heard so many people say it, I've read so many people post it, you know, I wasn't really a fan when I saw this, but then I got it in hand. Once I got it out of the package, once I got it out of its plastic prison, it changes people's outlook. Travis himself has brought up numerous characters that to him were almost kind of a throwaway character, meh, whatever, and then opens them up and end up being one of his favorite from the wave. And every time you look at these figures, you can notice either subtle things that you didn't see before. The more you look, the more that you can see, because the attention to detail comes back to things we've said on our other show about the Four Horsemen truly caring about the fans. They truly want to deliver an A number one product, and they absolutely do every single time.
Yeah, even someone like myself, that I'm not a big collector and a completist, but man, you see some of these characters for the first time at a convention, at a local comic book store, that sometimes they pick these things up. Next thing you know, you're going, who's this character? What do you mean, Attila? Where's the rest of his army? Man, look at this guy, you know. This Attila character, he's got plenty of gold to shine, to draw your attention from anything else, but yet he still is easily a regular character in this complete collection, if you will. He fits right in there and looks great.
Do you have this figure, Walt?
you know, he's one of those I haven't found yet. Every time I've either tried to go chase him down or find him, he's either, you know, gotten out of my reach, or I'll get distracted by another character and buy, you know, buy something else. I do have his brother Atlas, I don't have Attila. You know, I've missed him several times.
You know what? What's funny, you know, about these figures is I loved him when he first came out. That helmet just was striking to me, and that's what I fixated on when I would look at him. When we started discussing when these two came up with the idea for this podcast, and Steve brought up the idea of going over this figure first, it's funny, I was holding him in my hand, and then really I really started to look at him. And his face is just full of some amazing features.
Yeah, it is.
That I never really noticed before.
Well, when he came in the way, how many other figures did you get at the same time?
30,
something like that.
Yeah, so it's so easy to be excited. You go box to box to box to box, and like now you go back when there's only two figures on the table, and notice that. That's absolutely awesome to me.
That's one of the reasons why I really wanted to do this segment, because you know when you're a kid and you're getting your He-Man figures, you get a He-Man figure maybe on. Well, for me, my dad got paid every other week. I might get a figure. I ain't getting another one for 2 weeks. So I lived with that figure for 2 weeks.
Right.
You get a box of 30 beautiful figures and you go, it's overstimulation and you miss things and you don't appreciate and you don't sit down and read those bios and you don't really think about it. And this is a great time. We've got enough figures to go back and do this sort of thing and really, really flesh some things out and really get to know these guys.
Well, to hint on that too is if the recreation of the website for the Source Horseman, and what Jeremy has done with the guys is added those photos in, added the details, added the story, and added things in there to where you could, you know, if you're thinking about it before, like I have, you can go back and zoom in on a character, look at the details, see the reds highlighted by the blue on the gold, and just like so you can sit there and just kind of zone out and be like, oh my God, I don't know why I missed out on this guy. He looks great. He's going to fit perfect in with my Legion Builder, Army Knights, and things and stuff like that. Next thing you know, you find yourself going, okay, who has one of these? I need one, you know?
Right. The other figure that we brought along to discuss today is from that same faction, and it's Kauros. And, you know, obviously knowing Steven, is so hardcore Motu in his kind of start to all this, then to find out, Walter, that you are in that same boat, I would think that this figure is gotta be a huge favorite for you as well, because of the homage paid to Motu in its creation.
Yeah, this was a character that I think I bought several of them in the pre-order. I was fortunate enough to have the money for it at the time, and I picked up several of them. I did send some off to friends that couldn't get it, and then as soon as he came out in PowerCon 2018, I was like, somebody pick him up for me. I've got to have him. He sits on top of my display case battling Purple R, and behind Kauros is Adamong with his sword ready to take on the world. I mean, He cannot look more like Battle Cat to me than anything else.
And it's amazing. He's another warrior, like Attila. They've got his race listed as Jaguelin. So obviously he's a jaguar. But he was originally released in the Soul Spiller wave, but he was also one of the early release figures at PowerCon in 2018. So you could actually get in line. And what was the pairing figure? There was two figures that were at PowerCon, right?
I can't think of her name right now, but it was the Evil Lynn homage figure.
Okay.
Was with him.
He has a large sword, two wooden shields, and then a neck and shoulder piece. And he did come with a second head, which was a helmeted head.
It was a orc head.
Yes.
So you could use him as an orc. Okay. Which I really had no interest in doing,
right?
Even though I think it's...
Yeah, me neither.
It's cool. Right. But...
Now, you...
He came in the PowerCon with Malin, the female, which is a tribute to Evilland at the time.
Yep. Yep, he sure did. And I remember there, I was at that PowerCon.
Yep.
And they... That year, they were letting people buy... You could only get two figures, but they would let them buy two of the same. And yeah. On the second day, they had a stack of her left because everybody took two... A lot of people took two Kauroses.
Mm-hmm. I like
He looks great, yeah.
I like the two shields part of it, which at first didn't mean any. I didn't understand it. And then after talking, I think, with Steven and a few other MOTU fans, that was really just a throwback to 2000X, right?
Yeah. It was a tribute to the style that the Four Horsemen were part of the Masters series, where in 2000X, Battle Cat was displayed with two shields, one on each shoulder, and kind of a gun setup, and then, you know, He-Man, yeah. Of course, on top.
Yeah, yep, yeah, that's absolutely right. Very, very cool figure. I have the Zombie 13 sculpted bare feet on him.
Oh, yeah.
And I have his 2000X style helmet as well. But, you know, right out of the box, this figure is beautiful.
Now, did you buy those painted or did someone paint those for you?
I bought those painted. Okay. So I think Zombie painted them.
Right.
And
that's, you know, the aftermarket for this line of toys is absolutely amazing as well. You know, what people are coming up with and the creativity that this line has sparked in other people to create incredible things that go along with these figures has been pretty amazing as well. So he originally came with the metal boots,
stuff,
right?
Sorry to interrupt. Is the aftermarket stuff just fits perfectly and well within the style of what the Four Horsemen does. It doesn't look like an afterthought or bulky, you know, goofy looking, you know, helmet or anything. It looks like something that, you know, hey, this was approved by the Four Horsemen and you could add it on to our thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Yep. You want to read the bio for us, Trav? Let the listeners know.
Kauros, a powerful and noble warrior, uses exceptional speed and strength to serve under the banner of the Golden Lion for the army of Leodiceus. Stationed in the mythical city of Alkirium, he is part of a coalition of heroic warriors tasked with keeping the city free of dark magic. Already well known in his own right, Kauros arose to even greater fame, helping Ragna, Stormforger, and Thalen Frostbow with their mission to warn the unwary of the existence of the Soul Spiller, the fearsome weapon capable of resurrecting the evil goddess Illithia. Nailed it.
Yes. Crushed it. Absolutely crushed it.
Man, I'm giving you a gold star right now.
You know, and again, the depth, if you see, you know, Soul Spiller, so came out end of 18, beginning of 19, because
yes.
That's when we actually got those figures. You can see from Mythic Legions 1.0 to now, even just the depth of the backstory is a little bit more because they're able to build on other backstories, other stories in general, you know, include other characters, and, you know, talking about sharing a mission with two other characters and things, cool. You know.
And this figure came out, did it come out with those figures? It did. It just feels like it came out earlier because I had them. I had right. The early PowerCon. Yeah,
yeah, they had a limited release at PowerCon 2018. I forget how many they brought, but they only brought maybe about 100 of them each. Sold out of those in 2 days, and then probably about a month later, they released them to all the pre-order people, and then places like Big Bad Toy Store and Empire Toys started getting their inventory.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you know, going over the bio a little bit here, you say, well, this guy serves the army of Leodiceus. He serves under the banner of the Golden Lion. He is powerful and noble. So, you know, going back to, you know, our previous character, what was it, Leodiceus?
Attila.
Attila, yes. Attila, you know, you wonder, he seems like he could almost be kind of a bad guy, but then he's got people under him that are noble and powerful.
I think you are the only one that are from that bio is getting that he could be a bad guy.
You know,
I see what Steve's saying.
I'll agree with it. It's, you know, Attila just sounds like he could be, you know, doing something that's not on the straight and narrow, you know?
Atlas left for a reason. Why would Atlas leave?
Maybe he didn't want to be the boss.
To go find a bunch of other warriors to go be the boss of?
Yeah, but it's not a militant group. It's a group of warriors.
Well, they said that there was a scandal.
Yeah, who knows what that is? I mean, doesn't mean he's a bad guy.
It doesn't. I'm saying it's questionable.
Yeah.
Who goes around in a gold suit with a great big lion head? He's a villain.
He's the king.
Yeah. He's got a big red cape and a big huge sword that he's got an army behind him. He doesn't sound like he's, you know, doing, you know, anything too shady, but he could be up to no good. He's got heroes on his side to make him look good, you know?
You know, when you read Atlas's bio, which we'll get to in a later episode, right. You know, I don't know. When you read Atlas's, you kind of go, hey, Attila might just be the guy that they needed because Atlas isn't a bad guy, but Atlas threw in the towel, man. So that's it's cool to read that. It's cool to see that. No,
I think this is really fun. Anyways, yeah, Kauros, he's out there and he seems to have a lot to do with keeping, you know, things free of dark magic. He's out there, you know, with Thalen Frostbolt. Dang, she's hot.
I could tell you as a vendor, I love I set up at shows and sell, and I absolutely love these Motu crossover figures because they are eye catching. And they bring people into the line. I mean, they work perfect from that standpoint.
It's an automatic draw. I mean, I've gone to a con and people automatically will see Kauros and go, man, that sure looks like Battle Cat. And you go, and they read the bios and they go, oh, wow, if that's not Battle Cat, I don't know who is, you know?
Yeah.
It's that crossover that some of us that needed and others have to have.
Yeah, we have friends that they love Mythic Legions, but you know they're just embroiled in all these other lines. But they will get these crossover figures.
It's you know, I just had a guy over at my house, a parent to one of my daughter's friends, and he was downstairs checking out my toys and stuff, and our age, so he had all the same nostalgic kind of experiences as we do, and he's looking into the case of the Mythic Legions, and he actually saw the Evil Inn inspired figure, and he pointed right to her. Yeah. He pointed right to her. He goes, "Is that supposed to be Evil Inn?" And I'm like, "Ah, it kind of is." And it's even to somebody who's not into this, that's just lived in, you know, the period of decades that we have lived in, can be drawn to that sort of thing.
Yeah, I have several friends locally that when they went to PowerCon this last year, and the only reason they were going was to pick up the Mythic Legions inspired releases to get that Motu inspired purple or last year they went and picked up Kauros and was like, hey, look what I got, you know. They don't own any other figures other than the Motu inspired ones, and they're hardcore into it, and they'll still get excited about the Mythic Legions crossovers that just catch their imagination and bring into like a whole new generation, you know.
It's absolutely amazing the itch that these guys have been able to scratch with this figure line. You know, and honestly, I think that's a wrap for our first episode. That's really what we were trying to accomplish. And again, just kind of nerding out in the world of Mythic Legions. And Walter, we have to say thank you for all of your help, you know, with, you know, building a community around Mythic Legions. And it's, you know, we didn't invent Mythic Legions fans, but we've given them a place to come together and be with other fans. And you've done it with Facebook, and you've brought people into the line, and we've done it with our other podcast, and we've introduced people to it. And I, and it's, I think it's fairly safe to say that there are Mythic Legions fans out there that exist because of, our other show, and because of, you know, what you've done with Facebook, and, the community that we've all been able to kind of contribute to and create has been a ton of fun, and everybody is really enjoying it. And so we appreciate all your help with that.
Yeah, guys, I appreciate it. And, you know, I'm not one to toot my own horn or talk about it too much, but it's definitely one of those that, like I was talking to you guys off air, where it shocks and inspires me that so many people have come forward and talked to me and messaged me and met me in person and said, you know, how much fun they're having in the Facebook group. Also, they follow me on Instagram. I have a link to it where it's Mythic Legions Cabal on Instagram. And they're just, it's without words. It's just really shocking, you know, to have somebody come up to me and want to take photos with me because they follow me on Facebook or,
right.
You know, it throws me for a loop, man. It's fun. I honestly, it's a great time
to be recognized, in the real world for something that is, you know, on air stuff. It really is kind of a fun and an interesting experience. So on the spot question for you,
yes,
scale of 1 to 10, 10 being hell yes, 1 being probably not. What are the odds of you being at the next Legions Con, and being part of the My Wife Is Going to Kill Me live podcast?
As long as I have a heads up, you know, and I can plan ahead of time, you'll see me there.
Awesome, man. We look forward to that. That's gonna be a really good time, man. There's so many people that have made comments to us about coming out, and people that have reached out, people in the planning process that have reached out and invited us to come out, and like I said, to see that you were there, and so many of the customizers, you know, came out to New Jersey for the show. And I mean, let's be realistic, Cornboy and the guys are plenty enough of reason to want to go out there, but then again, to start adding in all of the people, you know, to meet the Jeremy Gerards and the Walter Hagans and the Nikki Nicole Cheneys and the, I mean, it's absolutely awesome, like I said, to be a part of that. So we're super pumped, and we have every intention of being there, and it's going to be an absolute blast.
Yeah, man. Like, I was there. I flew in for 48 hours. I didn't sleep for 2 days. I was up drinking coffee and drinking beer and hanging out, you know, taking photos with people and excited just as anybody else. I was fortunate enough to go hang out with about half a dozen guys afterwards and stay up all night and have fun. And, you know, I got to meet friends that I've only talked to online. I have fun with it, you know, to hang out with the Four Horsemen and them to put up with my crap while I'm sitting there just excited being a fanboy, you know. They just think I'm a character in their own little world, so
right?
I enjoy it.
Well, awesome, man. Well, we are wrapping up episode 0, essentially, the prologue of Legions Cast, where we talk about all that is Mythic Legions. And we can't thank you enough again for coming on this morning, Walter. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thanks, guys.
So make sure you guys check out Mythic Legions Cabal on Facebook. Remember, that is a place to jump in and share in the love of everything Mythic Legions. It's not a place to be something other than a nice person, so knock it off before you even get in there.
Be nice or leave.
Right, exactly. And if you guys are interested in toy lines other than Mythic Legions, comics, you know, kind of general nerd pop culture, and you like things maybe a little bit more vulgar, you can always check out the My Wife Is Gonna Kill Me podcast, featuring, of course, Stephen Bisciotti as the host, Travis Bowles, and I.
If you listen to this show And we're going to be on the same feed as my wife's going to kill me. So if you listen to this show and you got little kids in the car, you might want to turn it off if that other episode starts playing. Right.
Yeah,
we're definitely a little bit more colorful, but again, if you're just a Mythic Legions fan, we're hoping to knock it out of the park for you. But if you enjoy other lines and you enjoy color commentary, you can check us out over there as well. So with that, we'll wrap it up. Again, thanks to Walter for your host, Stephen Bisciotti, co-host Travis Bowles. I am Pete McCarthy, and until next time, we will see you guys in Mythos.